Vision Sunday is all about being invited by Jesus into something bigger than yourself. And his invitation is in your family and relationships. It's in your workplace, whether that is paid or unpaid, in your study place, in your search for a work or study place. It's in every domain of life. But this Vision Sunday, we're talking about what is the vision that Jesus is giving us, his church, his body on earth, and specifically his church here at All Saints. And we're asking and seeking to get an answer to this very simple question. Can you put it up on the screen? God, what can we join in with you here? When I was 10, Mr. Etherington invited us to join in the quest of winning the Middlesex Primary School Football Cup. We lost 2-1 to Stanmore in the final. They got the winner in the final minute. Jesus invites us into the most glorious, the most amazing project on earth. It looked like he'd lost as he dies on a cross, but his project, his kingdom work, the work of his kingdom, when we're praying, your kingdom come, the seal of it, the sign of it, is an empty tomb. He rose from the grave. We are invited by Jesus to join in with him in a resurrection project, which he's already won. And his kingdom, the kingdom of God, is breaking in on earth. If Tolu is here to give the reading, she can come up to give the reading. Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Because this reading from John chapter 11, if you'd like to turn to it in Bibles you have, is an archetype, posh word for meaning a pattern, an example throughout the whole of history and throughout the whole of the history of All Saints of how God works, bringing his resurrection power, the kingdom of God's power, into this earth, and how he invites people then, as he invites people today, to join in with what he's doing. Tolu, thank you.
We'll be reading from John chapter 11, verse 38 to 44. You can find this on page 178. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, quite briefly, I want to explain two reasons why it is good to join in with what God is doing here. Nick is then going to come up and set out some things of what we believe God is doing here. Not just Nick and I, but the PCC, that stands for Parochial Church Council. And some of you, hopefully many of you, have given in your thoughts, for example, to our site redevelopments project, what that is going to look like. What exactly do we believe God is doing the next 6 months and beyond? And finally, we're looking at how you can be involved. Many of you already are. But why is it so good to join in with what God is doing. God's word says that we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And Jesus, outside this tomb of Lazarus, is wanting for his kingdom, the kingdom of God's power, to come into this stone-cold tomb. And he's looking for his citizens, if you like, people who will believe and trust in him, who believe that God is sovereign and Jesus is Lord, who will work with him. Do you remember how, in the reading, he wants his volunteers to work? He wants them, doesn't he, to push away the stone. This seems a pretty amazing project which Jesus has here in John chapter 11. And Martha, who knows Jesus, she can tell it like it is. She says, in effect, really? Do you think we should really do that? She's sort of saying, good luck with that, Jesus. Lazarus, my brother, he's been dead 4 days. There's already a bad smell. This is not a good idea, she's saying. The work of the kingdom of God often sounds like a bad idea. And the reason is this. Can you just put up the next slide, please, if you would? The reason is that without God, the work of the kingdom of God doesn't work. Augustine put it this way, without you, God, we cannot. He's inviting people who will trust in him, who believe that God is king and Jesus is Lord, to move this stone away. And unless God is at work in this tomb, it's not going to work. We see this first principle, the first reason why it's so good to join in with God is because it's a project way bigger than ourselves. There's only one mention of rugby today, unless you're Welsh, but there's only one mention. It's why last weekend some of us suddenly became Japanese. Well, I did, because we were in a project, a glorious goal that was bigger than ourselves. And many years before that, we might have felt South African when they were winning. Did you see what I did there? I just included everyone, didn't I? Didn't alienate a soul. That's the end of rugby. Without you, God, we cannot. What a glorious thing to be involved in something bigger than ourselves. And in the project, the work of the kingdom of God, all the glory goes to God. Jesus says this in verse 40. Can you see it there? It's not the stone pushers who are going to get the glory, but they're taking a share in it. The glory goes to God. It's the most glorious project, the most glorious work on earth possible. Our vision, All Saints, is all about God getting the glory. Quick history lesson. In the 1860s, somebody had the idea, inspired by God, to put an Anglican parish here and to start it at the same time as a new station called Peckham Rye was being built, 1867. And some people might have thought, really? Good luck with that. We've got St. Giles just down the road, big church. Camberwell back in the 1860s, where it was all happening. This is just a little village. But one man, and his name is just over here, so that's why I'm wandering over here. He was called Reverend Thomas Joseph Geister. He had a sense that God was in this. And without God, he couldn't. But with God, he felt he could. And others started to join him, even though the church wasn't built then. Neither was the hall at the time when he first came. But gradually, God was at work. And by 1875, there are hundreds of Victorian children meeting in the hall where quite a few are now. You see the date on the hall, 1867. That's when it was built 5 years later, this church. And we know something of this history. I love this sort of stuff. Because we found in the archives the first vision talks, the Reverend Geister. And this is what inspires me. Because this principle running through the whole of Scripture, the whole of salvation history, is the history of All Saints Church. People who have known that without God, it wouldn't work. In 1996, some of you were here, when the church was down to 15 people, the boiler had bust and the roof was leaking, and without God, nothing was possible. But with him, things were. This Vision Sunday is about what God is doing and us joining in. And the second principle is this. Can you put up the second principle? Without us, for some mysterious reason, God does not. He will not. At Lazarus' tomb, Jesus could have moved the stone away without any volunteers. You know, once in history, God does move away a stone in front of a tomb. But the principle is always, how the kingdom of God works, is always waiting for people to join him. Jesus wants volunteers to take away the stone. You see, without God, Lazarus wouldn't have been raised. And without the volunteers, he wouldn't have come out. Does this make sense? And in what we're embarking upon here, that Nick's going to just sketch out a few things, like our site redevelopment project. Without God, it's not going to work. But without us, it won't happen. And these very simple principles that we see at Lazarus's tomb, on every page of Scripture, on every page of salvation history and the history of this church, we see these two principles. Reverend Gaister, back in 1867, asks for some volunteers, or God is, through him. And this is what he puts in this annual talk. I quite like the Victorian language. Mr. Reddy and Miss Smith are the kind and zealous superintendents of our Sunday school. Isn't that lovely? And he talks also in here about the District Visiting Society. I don't know if you're interested in this stuff, but I really love it. they go out through Peckham on a horse and carriage giving coal and bread to people on the streets. Today we're doing the same thing. If this works, we're just going to get up a little film which was shown here a couple of months ago of this very simple principle that God is looking for people to join in. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. You see, because the Reverend Gaister and all of God's people always are used by God for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. Peter, don't worry about the film. We'll show it at the end. Nick's going to come up and just... Okay, we've got it now. Okay. Seamless. You see, this picture that we showed at our PCC and a couple of months ago, for us is an illustration of this principle. You've got this crazy man dancing in the field. You see. And at first, he's a bit like Jesus at the tomb, doing a crazy thing, wanting to roll a stone away. Don't think that's going to work. But then somebody joins him. Somebody joins him, and now it's not just a crazy man. A movement has started. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit, like the crazy guy dancing in the fields, until somebody with faith, with a crazy faith, somebody who's prepared to look equally foolish, joins him. And before you know it, you've got other people joining in as well. Just a couple of months ago, we saw the latest outworking of this principle here, I think, when something was started called Food Cycle in the hall. I was there last night and have seen how it's grown in the last 9 months. A bit like this field, full of people. Started out with just an idea of one person taking food from local supermarkets close to its sell-by date, getting it donated for free, and with a lot of very careful planning, then setting up a team, inviting volunteers to join in this project. So now, every Saturday evening, here at All Saints, there's a free meal being cooked for anyone who wants to come. And we're going to be joining in with this for our harvest supper. It's all about, Holy Spirit, where are you dancing that we can join in with you? In seamless fashion, I'll hand over to you. to you, Nick.
Could you put the principles back up that Jonathan was just speaking about? So my job is to, and some of you will hate this section, some of you will go, goodness, this is interesting. My job is as kind of the engineer to give you a kind of an insight into the underpinnings, the underbelly of the church. Now, I quite like strategy and I quite like understanding systems and processes, so for me this is interesting. But I think it's really important, and we've made a pattern of coming to the church and just explaining what's happening every 6 months. Because actually, sometimes it's the strategy and the structure that underpins something that allows an organisation to grow. One of the privileges I have in the job when I'm not here is to work with someone who used to help run the Royal Shakespeare Company. And one of the things that blows me away when I talk to her, her name's Vicky Hayward, is that she describes how over 9 years she took an organisation from a point of when they printed out some redundancy notices, they managed to print it so that into the general office printer so everyone could see it, so it was dysfunctional. 3 years to turn that around, 3 years then to do a redevelopment project, and then 3 years to embed it and make one of the most profitable non-profit entities running at the moment. And I really want to explain, I hope, in the next 5-10 minutes, just what it means to run All Saints and some of the work that goes on behind the scene. But with that, please, 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 if I don't mention some of you who work so hard, I'm so sorry. You are all amazing and you contribute so much. That's a lawyer's version of a get-out clause, so it's been laid. So what have we been doing over the last 6 months before Jonathan and I last spoke to you in January? Well, one of the most amazing things, having worked here for now 2.5 years, is how actually we've been able to start building on some of the work that we've done already. Now, I'm going to give you a really stupidly concrete example of what this means and how, if you do anything like I do, which is boring administration, but really, really interesting in my view, things can make a difference. Some of you will not know, or will know, that there's a new photocopier that we bought almost a year ago now. Now, that's unimportant unless you know that that's costing the church £5,000 a year previously, and the old one that didn't work very well. And now our photocopy budget is £1,500, and on top of that, we're saving publicity of £2,000. Now, this is why I'm saying that sometimes it's the little important things that are important, because the knock-on effect, and it was actually one family member or family that donated the funding for that, has managed to save this church already something in the region of £5,000 a year. And that will go on and on and on. And that is why sometimes the boring strategic stuff that we do, and Jim's smiling there because I'll talk about him in a moment, is important. We've got things like the new telephone system, which you'll have seen with, for those people who have got the have youth, that we've got a new youth room downstairs because we managed to move all the desks up because of it. And actually, little things like the fact that we've actually managed to nail our heating costs because Jim's makes sure that the timer works every time, and so we actually managed to save some money, is really important. For those who don't know, Jim Renison works 2 days a week here and is our site manager. So we've been able to build on the work that we've been doing, but we've also tried to make some kind of strategic fixes. And we've been working really hard on what I would call our internal comms. That's our ability to speak together and know what's going on. We've got a new website, which was a lot of work, but we hope that now people feel that they can more easily see what's going on. We have also started a weekly email, which if you don't get, I would encourage you to sign up and you get the a link to the Herald and some of the events that are going on. And we've got things like the blog. And again, can I just encourage you, if you are a writer or even if you just have a book that you think is really good and you want to share, let us know, write a paragraph and we'll put it up on the new website. Please, please, please share what's going on, share what's important to you in your lives. The last 6 months has seen a staff reorganisation, and this was quite a difficult process, but basically the PCC asking Jonathan, what would it look like for the staffing of the church to be ideal? What kind of positions do you want? Where do we want to kind of deploy our resources? and the great privilege we've had of two new staff members joining as part of that. We've now got Richard Carey, who's agreed to be our finance administrator, and Georgia Ashwell, who's come in to support Magda and take a lead on events. So Magda's picking up the comms and Georgia's picking up some of the events. We've also been working really hard trying to improve the church fabric. Some of you will notice, or maybe a lot of you will notice, the new hall floor. An amazing privilege, because actually, if you ever come in on parents and toddlers and see 50 kids running around, it's really, really, really amazing to see the smiles on parents and the carers who come to that on a Wednesday morning, noticing that their children haven't actually got dirt all the way up and down their floor, because actually we can mop the floor. And special thanks to the staff that worked so hard. We ran parents and toddlers for that week in here. We moved all the toys out of the hall, and we gave the whole hall a thorough deep clean at the same time. Again, some quick fins. I mentioned it before. It's the office. And I know that Jonathan wouldn't say it, but it's not often you've got a vicar that's prepared for the youth to give up his own office. And I want that to just have a pause, really, for a moment, because that's a real privilege. We've managed to move all the staff because of that upstairs, bar the admin, which is now we've got four people in the downstairs room, and we've really hopefully made one room that the youth can use over the next couple of years before we can get some new facilities on site for them to use. And we've hopefully got some sofas being delivered soon that will make that a real good space for them. And it's a real privilege to be able to have done that. And I know that so many people in the staff team, and even our church warden, who, unbeknownst to himself, Tom, came in to help move some stuff around. That was a cunning surprise we deployed for him. But the most important stuff that's been going on is actually what God is doing. And it's really, really important to take an opportunity to see what we've see some of the things that God has been doing. Who let the dads out? Alpha restarted. Community Cafe restarted. Started for the first time, now running 2 days, mornings a week. Molo, Mothers of Little Ones. These are just a few examples of God on the move. And I make no apologies for slightly losing it. And being unprofessional. It's coming back now. We're all right. Because the next 6 months and the next year is promising to be so exciting. As we trust in God, as we lean into Him, He relentlessly meets us. He relentlessly wants to change our expectations of what might be. So some of the things that we're looking forward to doing over the next few months are finally finishing some of the electrics work in here, so those that you make tea and coffee on a Saturday evening won't see the tea and coffee flip out all the other electrics. We hear you, we know, we feel for you. Thank you so much. We're going to have some internal reordering, and we're just figuring out what that might mean. We're going to put some notice boards at the back and try and clean out the church. And we're going to get some new tables to make an even more welcoming area, as if that's even possible with Mavis and Gerline at the back. We're going to try and think through the stage area at the front as well. We want to start looking about our external comms. We've got plans for a notice board on the front, but that's not really what it's about. We've got to think through our social media. We've got to think about what our website looks for. What might it mean for us to have a virtual community notice board? What might it mean for All Saints and Peckham to be synonymous? For Peckham and All Saints and the power of God's love to be the thing that people talk about when they talk about Peckham? Now, I'm a big ideas person. And the one thing I can say is, it's never my ideas that are important. It's never Jonathan's ideas. What this is about is the church. And in your own imaginations, God is probably at work now, maybe just calling you to speak to a friend you haven't spoken to for a while, Maybe just to offer to pray for that person. It might be something else. It might be you're being called to get involved here. Here's some questions I just posed. What might it mean if parents and toddlers could meet every day? What might it mean if messy church could be once a week? As Jenny got challenged, why don't you do this every week? That's somebody challenging the staff team as to why they can't come to church. What might it mean if anyone can walk off that street and get counselling? What might it mean if the community cafe could run every morning or all the day? What might it mean if you would be able to offer once a month to Tim and Sev to get involved with the children's and youth work? And what other stuff, what amazing other stuff has God got in store for us that we can't even begin to understand or know? So last of all, I'm going to talk about the site development, but it is last. It's not least, but it is last. Because the principles we've got up here tell us that God's going to be on the move anyway. And our site development is not about doing stuff. It's not going to be the answer. It's not going to solve the world. But we do have a belief that if we do some things over the next couple of years, we'll be birthing the church 50 to 100 years with a great legacy. So where are we? We came to the church in March-ish time. Steve Trevor listened and conducted a listening exercise with a site development group. And that has fed into a brief that we've now had authorization from the PCC to take to architects. And we're working with architects, and we hope to come back to PCC in November with basically a high-level design options for them to approve. And the plan is then to have them signed off by the diocese, which will enable us to have, by January, and fed back to yourselves at a church meeting in February at service, a design of idea of where we're going. Now, none of that is pinned down yet, but I think it's worth whetting some of the appetites of what some of the options are being considered. It looks likely that it's worthwhile having listened to people to keep the church and the hall. People felt it was really important spaces for things. But what seems to be overwhelmingly truth is we need to make space for our youth, we need to make space for counselling, for healing people, and some kind of link building between the two that kind of unites the two buildings together and enable us to make use of the site better. And so we're asking with the architects at the moment to phase how we might do that. How can we do that? And there's a great appetite with the cafe to kind of create a cafe space at the front. And we're just figuring out what does that process look like to make that happen. And can I say, nothing is set in stone. We want everything to be not about us, but about what God is doing. And having a measure of, just like it was in 1860s, for one man to see an opportunity to carve out a small parish, which was a really stupid idea if one were frank, out of four parishes around this station, what might it be for us to birth our generations that follow us with that same gift in the coming years, and doing something that they go, "Cool, wasn't that amazing? Thank you so much for those people who are around." So, some quick metrics before I hand back to Jonathan. Last year we set a budget of about £540,000. We're running approximately to target for income, and mainly because of some of those savings that I said before and really kind of trying to kind of understand our budgeting system, it looks like we'll generate a surplus. And we've also been able to do rather more work than we anticipated. So a lot of some of the work that I've said we're going to do, we just didn't anticipate being able to do, and it's a real measure of God's favour. We have set this year a target of £24,000 a month to come in by standing order. And we haven't quite achieved that, and I would encourage you today, if you would, to think about giving regularly. It's a really good way for the staff and for the treasurers in the form of Heather and the PCC to keep an eye on what's going on. But looking forward to next year, we've created, or hope to create, and it's been to PCC and it's going to go back for final approval in November, a £30,000 seed pot as part of next year's budget to start looking at a first phase of that site redevelopment that I talked about. But most of all, please, if nothing else, take away from today. It's a real privilege to be here at All Saints. Prayers are answered daily, and we're figuring out what it means to flow in God's Spirit. Thank you.
So finally, and briefly at the end of this Vision Sunday, I'd like you just to take the card that you were given. If you're a visitor here, or just passing through, as it were, this isn't for you. Hopefully it's of interest. For some of you, this card is a sign of where you're already investing the three resources every one of us has been given by God: our time, our gifts, our money. Some of the things Nick outlined have only been possible because of you and others investing these three God-given resources we have in different ways. Some, not many, have time. All have gifts, according to Scripture. All have some money. We all have different amounts. The question is, what is God calling you and me to invest in these three resources? And we would love to talk with any of you who do not know how you could join in with what God is doing, but would like to. You feel Jesus saying to you, yeah, this is a bigger picture I want you to be a part of, if you're not already. And if there's anything you would like to find out about, a lot of my job and other members of staff's job is to talk with people who are asking this question: God, how are you calling me to be involved in God's bigger picture? There are some ideas of ways to be involved. Some of them very simple. The simple making of tea and coffee after this service. It happens in the hall. If that didn't happen, many conversations I have, and maybe you have, can't happen. If somebody wasn't on the AV desk, those of us who didn't know the words wouldn't be able to join in with the worship of God. Not everyone can do that, although that's not a technical job, I've been told. Even I could do it, apparently. Oh, well, I'm not sure about that. But nevertheless, what is God calling you to be a part of? Some things require specific gifts. Maybe you have a gift that is really needed. I do not have the gift or the experience of managing a site redevelopment project, but I'm certain it's of God. And one reason is because there are people with those competencies around. We are establishing the team for that. Maybe you have a gift to invest in something God is doing here, whether it's that or whatever. And finally, we've all got money, and we're asking with this card for you to simply ask God, what are you calling me to give financially? We give a tithe of our church budget now to things we believe and people we believe God is doing stuff in and through. They're called All Saints all around the world. There are also partner organizations like Springboard and PCAN who we partner with. And I believe from Scripture and from experience that giving a tithe, giving it joyfully to God's work, is such a great investment. God is no person's debtor. And just to ask God, what are you calling me to give, be it a one-off gift, be it by standing order, that is a good question to ask God. What a crazy sounding thing to do, to give money away. But God's kingdom is all about people who will give to him. And he promises, give and it will be given to you. That's the experience of this church. That's the experience of me, the experience of some of you who've talked with me about this. Without you, God, we cannot. without us you will not. If you feel so moved, not by emotion, but by God, to fill in this now, then please do. Not a bad thing, because otherwise it'll go in your pocket, and I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. But don't do it by emotion. To ask God, what are you calling me to give? Fill this out. We will get in touch with you, talk with you, help you in any way we can for you to give. And you can put it in the collection today or next week. As the worship bands come up, I'm just going to invite us to keep a moment of quiet as we ask God this question. Lord God, what are you calling me to join in with you in? Like a crazy man dancing in a field. It might be unlikely. But you call everyone who knows you, Jesus, as Lord, and God as sovereign, to join in with the work of his kingdom. What are you calling me to join in with you in?